2 years ago, I was talking to some people and I said, I'd like to do a series on spiritual gifts. And I started researching it. And then COVID happened. And I feel really bad for Doug, because Doug was one of the people I promised to. Like, Doug isn't even here to like before I got it done. But when COVID came, I was like, we can't do a series on spiritual gifts yet, because the original title for this was the spiritual gifts are interpersonal, which is a kind of a weird word, but it means that, you know, spiritual gifts are made for to be experienced with each other. And so we can't very well do a series on spiritual gifts when we're not all together. And so now we are mostly all together. Hi, Marie, Linda, I love you guys. And now I think it's the time. And so I said last week, I said we're going to do a 3-week series. After looking at it, it's actually going to be a 5-week series. So it's going to be until just before we have a little break for the summer. Now, what are spiritual gifts? Now, you probably have heard something about spiritual gifts. Now, I don't assume that every Christian has heard a lot about spiritual gifts, because when I was growing up in the Dutch Reformed Church, like, we didn't tend to hear a lot about spiritual gifts. In fact, sometimes I joke, we were a little like the people they met in Acts, where they were like, we didn't even know there was a... Well, Paul meets these people, and they're like, we didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit. Like, you know, we were just supposed to work harder. Now, the Bible has not left us uninformed on this topic. In fact, now, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. Now, if I'm not informing you, I'm not very well doing my job, because Paul says we don't want you to be uninformed on spiritual gifts. And so today we are going to do, I hope, 3 things. 1, show that there are spiritual gifts. 2, show why there are spiritual gifts. And 3, show that spiritual gifts are for the church. Spiritual gifts are for the church. Now, as we go deeper into the series, we will go more specifically into specific spiritual gifts, and maybe that will be more interesting. I hope so. It will certainly be more controversial. All right, point 1, golf clubs. Everyone has a spiritual gift, golf clubs. So we're going to look at 1 Peter here for a second. 1 Peter 4, verses 10 to 11. As each one has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks is one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves is one who serves by the strength that God supplies. There are 3 important things here. The first is, everyone has received a gift. A gift in the Holy Spirit, which is where we get spiritual gifts. Everyone has received a gift. And as we see, we're going to look at that these gifts are not just talking about the kind of gifts that are controversial in some circles, but are gifts that seem kind of mundane, like serving. Like serving, that seems like, you know, it's kind of a really general thing, serving. But it becomes a spiritual gift, because it's not just serving in a way that anyone can serve, but serving is one who serves by the strength that God supplies. Now, secondly, we see these gifts are different, God's varied grace. And we're going to see a list of spiritual gifts a little bit later, but I don't think that that list is even like the limit for God's spiritual gifting. I think there's more that aren't specifically spelled out, because some of these are so general that they would encompass a whole pile of things. And these gifts are different gifts. And so we would be very remiss as a church if we held up one particular gift as more important than the rest of them. And I think there might be some ways in which we do that, which we will get to. Now, the third thing we see here is this is whoever serves, whoever speaks by the strength that God supplies. our gifts are not like, it's not like God gives us something in order to give us more work. Now, early on in my marriage, my wife is in the nursery right now, so don't remind her of this. I did this because she might be mad. So she had been complaining, like her vacuum wasn't very good, and her birthday is coming up, and I'm thinking, two birds with one stone. So I buy her a vacuum cleaner, thinking, yes, I nailed it this time. Like, this is the best gift ever. Men. Yeah, just like flowers, something else. Just don't, like, buy the vacuum a week before. She's still happy, and then you can get flowers, and then it's all good. So just don't. But God isn't here. Like, just saying, like, here is a bunch of stuff. Like, here's a gift. Now you go do some work. Now you do some work. Like, here's a vacuum cleaner. Oh, keep the house a little cleaner. But God gives us gifts that, you know, we're still doing. Like, it's still like, whoever serves, whoever speaks, like, we're still speaking, we're still serving. Like, there is our gifts that we're doing, but it's not like a vacuum cleaner, or it's a gift where it's kind of a lot of work and maybe it sucks a little bit. It's a gift like golf clubs. It's a gift like golf clubs, where it's just like, oh yeah, it's a golf club. Like this is a thing, which is a fun gift. I'm actually going to go do this. This is, for some people, maybe work, or maybe for me, it's like a disc golf disc. It's like your disc golf disc. So now I can take this thing, and I'm actually doing it, but actually in the place, instead of it being like a lot of work, this is where I find joy in being in the place where God called me to be, using the particular gift of the Holy Spirit for God's glory. Point two, gifts are for the mission. Spiritual gifts are given in the gospel, in the good news of Jesus Christ, for the benefit of the church. Ephesians 4, verses 7 to 9. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. Now, how are we saved? We are saved from God's judgment by his work alone on the cross. Like, we could not live up to God's law. Thou shalt not, you know, steal or lie, or even worse, like, love your neighbor as yourself. We could not live up to God's law. We could not fulfill it. And so Jesus lives a perfect life for us. He goes to the cross, dies on the cross, pays the penalty for our sins as a substitutionary atonement in our place. By grace we have been saved only by his work on the cross. That is how we are saved. But it gets even better than that. Now, it might seem not better, but as we are saved, Jesus gives us two main things. You know, two things he gives us? He gives us a command and a mission. The command is, love one another. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. The command he gives is to love. The mission he gives is to go to the ends of the earth preaching the gospel to all nations. So we get a command and we get a mission, but he does not send us unequipped. And so the gifts he gives, the grace was given to each one of us. Grace is a different form of the word for gift, was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. And we get this picture where he ascended on high with a host of captives in his train. And this picture is one that's drawn from the Old Testament. And I can't help but think that Paul is thinking a little bit about the Roman triumph here. I'm a big history fan. I've read more than one history of Julius Caesar, which is, I don't know if that's embarrassing or bragging, but it's, my kids are like, yeah, that's embarrassing, Dad. And when they would have a great victory, they wanted to show it off for political means. And so they would take all of the stuff. They would take all this money that they had won. They would take slaves that they had won, and say a host of captives, which, by the way, the people captive here are, you know, they're getting freed by this. But he would take all of this and parade them through the streets of Rome. And as they did so, in order to win favor and to show that, you know, they weren't just doing this for themselves, they would mint coins. Some of them with like their, usually with their own head on it, like Julius Caesar's victory and over the Germans or over another thing. I think he had three triumphs or four. And as they would go through the city, they would throw these coins into the crowd as gifts. Now, in the same way as this, Jesus Christ, when he dies, is resurrected, and ascends to the Father, he does not just go there and be like, okay, guys, now work really hard at this. No, he gives gifts of his victory. And so earned in the victory of Jesus Christ are the gifts of the Spirit in order for us to do as he called us to. This is the promise of power from on high. And it's not just the Holy Spirit. It's not just some mystical, far-off thing. Like, the Holy Spirit isn't a cat poster. It's not, hang in there, buddy, until I return. But it's actual, practical gifts of teaching, administration. But we should probably get into, like, what are the gifts pretty soon. Point three, what are the gifts of the Spirit? All right, we are just going to read through these. I tried going through every text, and this sermon was getting really, really long instead of just long. And the gifts of the Spirit, I'm just going to list them out as they are listed. And here's the scripture references. You can look this up. If you sign up for the weekly email, it's the second time in a row I'm like saying, hey, go look at this for more information. But anyways, I will put a chart with all of the spiritual gifts and the text by which they are found emailed to you on Tuesday morning at 7:30 or a little later if I'm tardy. That is my promise to you. Sometime it will happen. Spiritual gifts: wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing gifts, miracles, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, tongues or language. Those are all found in 1 Corinthians, and this is Romans 12:8, and these are extra ones. There's a lot of overlap. Service, exhortation, giving, leading, mercy. And I didn't have up. There should be. There should be administration up there too somewhere, which I forgot. And as you read through this list, you will see some that seem like really, really weird, like prophecy or the gift of languages. And there are some that seem like so normal, like, you know, what's so spiritual about giving? Like, people give money who aren't spiritual at all. Like the Pharisees, they're going and they're bidding large sums at all. We just learned about this a couple weeks ago in the Gospel of Luke. But the fact is that there is giving. But what makes it spiritual is doing it with the strength that God supplies. Giving, like we learned about the widow who gives of her need to God. Like, that is like the spiritual gift of giving. Administration, which is listed as one of the gifts, does not seem like right up there with like miracles, like moving mountains or something. But let me tell you what, the person who's volunteering for 30 years at VBS, like running after 30 kids, like that's a spiritual gift too. Doing it in a way that God supplies. Now, point four is going to be the part of defending spiritual gifts, because some of the gifts on this list will invoke strong reactions from certain people, namely the gift of tongues and prophecy. And we're going to talk about that directly right now. Most of all, because I need to deal with myself a little bit here. Now, as I already said, I grew up Dutch Reformed Church. Like, a lot of things seemed really weird when I first got involved in some more charismatic churches, which happened for me when I was in college, actually, when I was about 19. They were flag wavers. Like, they waved flags and worship. I always thought that was really, really weird. You know, we were like, I went to an evangelical free church as a teenager. We were like one hand half raised church. Like, we were like this, but they were like this, which is things that we are not used to always seem weird until we're used to it. Like, you go to somebody's house and they like do things a different way. It's like, that's kind of weird. And it's like, you get the curmudgeonly reaction that now that I'm getting old, I'm like, it's different and I don't like it. Thereby, it's wrong. There are problems associated with spiritual gifts. There's a guy in my church, my old church, and he was like all into every TV preacher you've ever heard of. He got more asks for money than they could fit in the mailbox at his thing. It was a little bit sad, actually. And he's gone on to be with the Lord now. And he was like so excited about things. And he invited me along to go to this guy who was like this guy on TV, this guy, this healer on TV. He's like, you got to go to this healing service. And I'm like, okay, I'll go with you. I'm a little like, I'm kind of skeptical. And, you know, I went there, and the first thing I noticed, it was a little bit weird, is I'm sitting there, and me a little bit, you know, I'm a bit of a skeptical person on some days, is that the start of the service was delayed by 45 minutes because they had to rush their piano player to the hospital because he had fallen ill. Not the way you want to start out a healing service. Anyways, I feel really cautious about the gift of tongues because my wife, again, this is her story, and sometimes you can ask her about it more particularly, but when she was about 16, she went to like with some friends to this one church, and they were like, has anyone not received the gift of tongues? And they're like the most honest, her and her sister are the most honest people in the world, and they're like, put up their hand, and they're like, so they bring them up front, and they're just like praying for them, and they like, they just like have no idea. They're like, this is the weirdest thing of ever. They grew up in a Lutheran church. And so eventually my wife just starts speaking Nepali because she knows Nepali words because she lived in Nepal. And they're like, oh, praise the Lord. She's received the gift. And she's talking in Nepali. Don't worry, it's not bad, dear. Things like these, you know, charlatan healers to people who may be a little bit overly zealous about one particular gift can make me want to write off everything. Just be like, shh. Just because there are many things done with spiritual gifts that are wrong, fake, associated with bad theology, ignorant of the Bible, licentious, or unloving. And yet, I can't write it off, number one, because A, the Bible, and secondly, because there is fakeness, bad theology, ignorance, licentiousness, unlovingness, and I'm just talking about myself in the church. There are exegetical sermons that are worse than fake healers because the unlovingness of certain people can go against God's will more so than maybe the worst excesses of the charismatic movement. John Piper said this, and it's a really good thing to think about. There are emotional abuses in the non-charismatic church. So he says, you know, basically, like, there are abuses in these charismatic churches, but there are emotional abuses in the non-charismatic church, namely the absence of emotion, which is probably more deadly than the excesses. So that's one. Dealing with kind of like the charlatans. Yeah, they're charlatans, but they're everywhere. Secondly, some people would say that the Bible teaches that miraculous gifts will stop. And now I know this very well because I made this argument. 1 Corinthians 13, 8-10 says, love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. Now, the argument is that these things were just for a time, and yet if you just keep reading, it goes on to when the perfect comes, and it says, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. And what can this be talking about other than when Jesus comes back? Like, no more tongues, because everyone's going to speak the same language. No more prophecy, because everyone will have their heart purely before one another. So there will come a time when certain things will pass away. We just have not gotten there yet. Watch the sky. The third argument for against these is that gifts were given as authenticating signs. And so the argument is that, so these miraculous signs, so Jesus' ministry, it was a sign to show who he was, and so would the apostles well. And that's an argument, and in some ways it makes sense, because it's true that the miracles Jesus did, like, no one did it. This showed who he was, Messiah. We talked about that again and again in the Gospel of Luke. And for in the book of Acts, like, it shows what they do. And yet, the reason why this argument falls kind of flat is that Paul is writing about all of these gifts in the Corinthian church. Now, what apostle is in Corinth? Which apostle is in Corinth? You know, Paul went there, but he's not there right now. Like, there's no apostles in Corinth when all of these things are happening. Like, Corinth just means really just like a church representing a church in the New Testament age. So, spiritual gifts are for the church. Now, cutting to the chase, the reason why many Bible commentators, many pastors and teachers, some of whom I respect very deeply, is reject the gift of languages or prophecy is plainly just because they've never experienced them. And they're letting their own particular experience dictate how they read the Bible. Now, in this series, as we go through, and this goes for every single person, whatever, like, camp you like to sit yourself in, like, we want to be guided by the Bible and the Bible alone. And so we never want to let, like, some really important experience that we've had in our life dictate how we read the Bible. The Bible judges our experience, not the other way around. That's how we have to live. So, spiritual gifts are for the church. Part five. Three truths about spiritual gifts. So, this is going to be pretty quick. One, Lordship of Christ. You're probably like, when are we going to get to Corinthians? So, Paul says, I don't want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says, Jesus is accursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except in the Holy Spirit. I think what Paul's getting at here is that, you know, many people claim to have miraculous powers, and some even do. The Bible, the New Testament, it warns us again and again. The last time, people will come doing false wonders, deceiving many. And so we don't want to use it as a test of this person is orthodox. We should invite them and let them speak just because they're doing great, amazing looking things. But we are guided first by the confession that Jesus Christ is Lord. We're guided first by the doctrine of who God is. That's why we did the Apostles' Creed today, is that we are guided first by the doctrine of Jesus Christ, and then we see the miraculous powers work, not the other way around. Because there are many spirits that are not of the Lord. Secondly, all gifts are necessary. All gifts are necessary. For the body does not consist of one member, but many. And so many people, and this is, I think, you know, one excess we've seen in some movements, is that like there's one certain gift, and they're like, this is the gift, this is the most important gift. And if you don't have this gift, like maybe you're not even totally a Christian, or at least not a good Christian. I'm going to lift up one part, but Jesus says every single part is important. Every single gift that we have in this church, every single one, and there are people here probably not using their gifts very well, and everyone is important and needed because God has given them to us to do what? To serve one another, to fulfill the mission of God. The gifts are for building up the church. Gifts are to build the church. Find this. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ. Don't come to this and think, I need to learn about gifts because, like, I need, like, people to recognize what I'm doing so they know that I'm special. Like, don't think about it. Like this is like how I find my worth in my gift. Because the gift comes after. Like, Jesus Christ ransoms you by no work of your own. You are a child of God, adopted into a family, have everything you possibly could ever have. All things are yours, Paul says. Like, all of that is done before you do one single thing or express one single gift. So don't do that. Think about it as this gift is for serving others. Like, I am getting this gift in order to help others. I think the spiritual gifts, I talked about it being like golf clubs, but that's not quite right, because golf clubs are something that you can go and you can golf by yourself. It's more fun with buddies, but I think it's spiritual gifts are more like Jesus has given us a ship. I've always wanted to sail. Sailing is awesome. I love reading old sailing novels, like going Northwest Passage, and they all die and have to eat one another. It's awesome. It's the best thing ever. But God has given spiritual gifts to our church so that we can be like shipmates. And every single part is important, because if we don't have someone on the lookout looking, like, we're going to run into rocks. If we don't, like, maybe I'm sort of like, I'm up here, maybe I'm a little bit like the person steering, the captain of the ship, but I can be as good of a steerer as possible. If I don't have the people in the navigation room telling me where to go, I'm lost. And maybe the analogy here is the people praying in the prayer room. If I don't have the people praying in the prayer room giving spiritual direction, I'm lost. And maybe some things that don't seem very important, you know, whatever. There's probably people here who do things that I don't even know what you do. Thank you very much. God knows what you do and will reward. Maybe like they're the people down in the bottom of the ship. They're pumping the bilge, you know. You know, it doesn't seem like anything. It's not up top. You don't even look at it. But you know what happens if no one pumps out the bilge water? Slowly sink. We need people holding the sails tight. We need every single person using their gifts in order to be right. But even in that, you know what else we need? What else we need is we need God to blow the wind. Because without him, none of what we're doing matters at all. If you're sitting at the doldrums, you don't move as a ship. And so it all leans back. The gifts lean, make us to all lean on each other and make us lean on God. And so if you're going to pray right now, and we're going to pray to know and use our gifts, don't pray for wisdom so you can just be another smart guy. Like, we got enough wise guys. It's like, for as long as I've ever wanted, I've wanted to be a wise guy. Like we got enough wise guys. Pray that you'll be wise, that when you pick up the phone at 1 a.m. in the morning and there's someone struggling with addiction, that you will have the wisdom to tell them right then. Because the gift isn't for you, it's to help that person. Don't pray for prophecy to see, you know, a myriad of the things of God. Pray that you would have the wisdom to talk through with the heart of your friend in order to see what's really going on, to disclose their heart so that they can grow closer to God. Pray in all things that you would have the gift in order to build up the church, because that's what they're for. Let's pray. Oh, Lord God, we pray as we go through this series that you would give us unity in the Spirit. We would grow together. I pray that even today, your Spirit would be impressing upon individuals how their gift that you have given them in the Holy Spirit can be used to serve one another with the strength that you supply. And I pray that more and more we would be built up into love, that the ship of your mission to love one another, to go into the world, would be running fast and free through the waters of your grace, blown by the wind of your Spirit, until the day you come to set the world free. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.